Good day, and welcome to the Camp Minds podcast number 3 for the second week of February 2010. The Camp Minds podcast is sponsored by Our Kids Media, and you can find us on the net at ourkids.net. And we're a company that produces, among other things, the Our Kids Go to Camp magazine. My name is Travis Allison, and now I invite my co-hosts to introduce themselves. Cam, why don't we start with you, since you're our newest co-host.
Hi, I'm Cam Cobasi. I work for Frost Valley YMCA in the Catskill Mountains in New York. A little bit about my background is I've been working here for about 4 years, on and off in various camp director positions, but I've been working for the YMCA for roughly, I guess, 10 years now at this point.
That's great. Thank you. And Joe?
My name's Joe Richards. I'm the administrative director at Pierce Williams Christian Center, which is a United Church of Canada camp in southwestern Ontario. It is it's snowing here.
Dan.
My name's Dan Weir. I'm the director for Camp La Wayanda at Frost Valley YMCA. And so same place that Cam works, and how Frost Valley works is it's a year-round camping, conferencing, education facility. And Cam and I split up the resident camp. So Cam oversees the older half, and I oversee the younger half.
Wonderful. Hi, Gab.
Hey, my name is Gabrielle Rail, and I work at Camp Waro. I'm one of the directors there, and it's a camp in the Laurentians in Quebec for all girls. Half our campers are English, and the other half are French, and it is also snowing here.
Well, that's great. Thank you, and welcome, everybody. We were having a little discussion before we started recording about people being confused between the links that we open with and our picks of the week that we end up the show with. So just to be less confusing going forward, and starting with podcast number 4, the links are going to be the news we find about the camping industry, and it's a link usually because it'll be an article that we find online that we can provide you with a link to read more. So starting in number 4, links will really focus on news that affects our industry. And for this podcast number 3, it's going to be fun links that we found on the net that we think are fun. So we'll become even more focused in our next podcast. Joe, why don't you start us off with what you found?
Okay, my link of the week is, it's called the Free Software Directory. I like to do things that are cheap, which a lot of camp directors do. And so if you can get something for free, why pay for it legally? And so the Free Software Directory just has tons of software that you can download for free for both Mac and Windows computers. If you need a program for something, it's probably on there. So, yeah, that's my link of the week.
So what's some good samples of what you've found there that you really liked?
Well, my pick of the week is on the Free Software Directory, Moodle. There's tons of open offices on there. And other office suites, right? If you're a camp that has 10 computers, and are you going to pay for Microsoft Office, you know, 10 times? There are, you know, online learning systems I'm looking at right now. There are language learning programs. There are flashcard system programs. There's everything you could possibly imagine. So graphics programs for editing, internet applications, software libraries, printing, security, system administration, hobbies, games, education, science, math. So it's fairly well-rounded.
That's awesome. Dan, you had some cool stuff that you put up for your links.
This week was actually 2 links. With that, one is wink.com and another is people.com. And so I'm pretty protective of my staff and who I hire in that sense. So if I don't know the person, I really want to find out as much as possible about them before they get here. Definitely these two search engines have saved me a lot of time. And also really they find people's online profiles as well as finding people's addresses, and without disclosing too much, because you know it's always an HR issue. One time, I searched for someone's name that was an applicant here, and I actually found swastikas on their MySpace page. And I didn't automatically; it saved me the time of interviewing them and all that sort of thing. I, you know, just kind of cut it right there. You know, I look at the kids that are coming to camp, and they really are children, and kind of taking ownership of them and looking for people on the internet with that aspect. So, and stuff doesn't always come up in the registries that you know we have to do for the state.
Like the child abuse registry, you mean?
Yeah.
Yep, that's cool. And another one that I have used before is Spock.com. It's the same sort of thing.
I usually make
a point of checking what comes up about me on Wink and Spock. I haven't heard of people before, but I'm going to start to check that too, just to make sure.
Well, people market themselves as the deep web search. That's... So, if you have a friend that you couldn't connect with and for some reason has tried to keep everything offline and you haven't, it's, you type their name into people and they find stuff on anybody. So. Yeah.
Oh, no, we actually were testing this on Saturday night. Cam was over at my family's home with me, and it turned into, oh, what can you find on me? And, you know, my grandfather, we pulled up every house he owned, and it was pretty crazy.
Wow. I think it's a great teaching tool for the staff that you hire during your staff training also. We're always trying to teach them to be careful with their online presence and why. And that would be a very powerful tool, I think. I'd imagine if you sort of started typing in some staff's names during staff training and see what you come up with. Obviously with their permission first, but...
We should do it on a giant projector in front of everybody.
Yeah. That'd be a tough sell.
Well, I think it's a great lesson. I think you're totally right, Gab. If you have a way of testing it ahead of time, I think it's a brilliant idea. And Gab, why don't you tell us what you had written down for a link?
Right, so my link is called istockphoto.com, and it's basically a site where a whole bunch of artists can post their images, their artwork, maybe flash images, and also sound bites. And I use it often for our advertisement. We always use our own pictures from our camp, but all that added stuff, especially since we're an all-girls camp, but doodling is really in to grab the attention of girls, and there's a whole bunch of fantastic images they have on there for advertisement, and you pay an artist to do it, so it's not like you're ripping it off of online, and it's also a little bit less expensive if you have to do it yourself and you need a little help, then you can go on there, but you can download old-school Polaroid pictures and put your own pictures in there, and yeah, it's really neat.
And if you look hard enough, you'll find a couple of photographs of mine that are for sale up there.
Nice.
did you get to has people bought your images
yet? Yeah,
for sure.
And it's one of those things as a photographer that it's something I'd like to do more of because I think it has great possibility, great potential as an income generating thing, but you sort of have to really commit to it to make money, especially at the iStock level, where you can buy images for as low as $1.50.
Right.
You really have to commit to the idea and put up a lot of pictures in order to make money.
Yeah.
So
how much would one expect to pay if they were to go there and get some images?
It goes on a point system, which is very, I think, smart because you don't really realize how much you're spending at a time on certain images. But it really depends on the quality of the image and, you know, the popularity of it. But you could probably, on one image, anywhere from, as Travis says, $1.50 to, you know, $20, $25 or more. I like the idea that you're supporting artists, and I know not all the money goes to them, but at least it's a way for them to sort of work together, camp people and artists. I like that.
And you also pay based on size. So if you need just a I forget what the minimum size is, be like 500 pixels wide, and that would be $1.50. But you can also buy stuff shot on, you know, high-end pro cameras that'd be good enough for a billboard, and it would be a lot more. Who knows how many.
Yeah.
Like $100, $150 maybe for something billboard-sized. But it's, as Gab said, it's not just images, it's sounds, it's video clips.
Mm-hmm.
Have looked at using them for sort of introductions to videos for shows I was working on, all sorts of stuff. iStock is beauty. I like it. So the link that I had was Gary Forster, who, and I'm trying to find him online, but...
It's just GaryForster.com, that's all it is.
.com, okay. Maybe the Y guys are better qualified to talk about Gary, who's really well known, even in Canada, for being innovative in the camping industry. But he has a newsletter that he puts out monthly, and it's full of cool camp ideas. So if you do go to Gary Forster, Forster.com, you can sign up for his newsletter. And it's always got lots of good ideas for camp directors. I guess he's in the consulting business these days, going around to camps and helping them set up cool programs. And when I first heard of him was him talking about facility stuff and writing about facility stuff. but I understand, I know he does more than that. But Cam or Dan, maybe you had something to add about Gary.
Yeah, Gary was CEO of Camp Jewel for quite some time before he became the YA camping specialist, and now he's out doing his own thing for all camps. But facility-wise, he's just, he really knows, you know, every little detail of, you know, where you should have your lights so the kids can read more books, or, you know, the where to kind of put benches and games out and really get the best amount of child development and building friendships that kind of come with it. He's definitely, you know, the best quote I've ever heard of about him is, it's like trying to drink from a fire hose. He just has such a wealth of information that kind of like just comes at you at once and always kind of innovates ideas from you.
Cool. That's great. At this point, I think we'll move on to our discussion for the week. Set aside a bunch of ideas. We do this when we're preparing for the show. And what we decided we wanted to talk about now, especially since some folks have already been involved in this in the new year, is camp conferences and leadership conferences and things like that. And Gab, would you mind just sort of opening it up for us and telling us some of your thoughts?
Sure. Well, I'm a big believer in conferences and camp directors going to conferences, as well as if the camp can afford it, bring some of their staff members to conferences. Probably about 15 years ago or so, or maybe a little bit further back, everybody went to perhaps their provincial or national conferences. They were a lot bigger. And over the years, they sort of started to dwindle. And now I think what's happening is that conferences are becoming a little bit more specific. People see the benefits in conferences. And camp people are branching out to not only go to perhaps their provincial conference or their state conference, but also their conferences across the border or conferences that aren't titled camping, but something else that's more specific that will help their camp. So I just thought it'd be really interesting for us to share the different types of conferences that we've all attended, the pros and cons of those conferences, and is there room for our staff, and how much does that cost? Is there room for our staff and the finances to bring our staff to those conferences? So I know that Joe has a conference that I'd love to hear about because I'm interested in going, and it's not a camping conference, but it's one in the States. You know which one I'm talking about, Joe?
Yeah, you're talking about Buckeye. I have a, as you can well imagine, I have a view on conferences, but right now I sit on the committee for the Buckeye Leadership Workshop, which is run out of Recreation Unlimited in near Columbus, Ohio. And Buckeye Leadership Workshop is its own sort of organization that runs this. In the States, they're called Rec Leaders Labs, and they're sort of a Midwest thing. There's some in Michigan, Illinois, Ohio. North Dakota has one, and there it's like a gathering of people who just want to get together and learn a lot about, mostly about recreational things. And so it's just a different type of conference. And earlier today, Dan and I were talking about the fact that, you know, somewhere like Tri-State, which in itself is a great conference, but offers very little community. Buckeye's is a great conference that is all about community, right? It's a, And that depends on what, how often you go to a conference and what the community is like. But, you know, I find myself getting excited to go to Buckeye each year because I find myself excited to see everyone again. So.
And have you brought staff members to Buckeye, or has it only been you that have been going?
No, I've tried to attend every year with staff members. So this will be my fourth or fifth year going, and I've only missed bringing staff 1 year. And so I really put value on putting money in the budget to take staff somewhere else so they can see a different perspective on things. And what I love about Buckeye is just the inexpense of something like that, finding a conference that's inexpensive. So I'll take four staff members plus myself this year, and for each of the staff members, I will pay for 5 days, accommodation, food, and conference. They will pay, it's around $235 U.S., for the 5 days, and I don't have to pay anything because I sit on the committee. It's a really good, really good deal. So,
yeah, that's great. Nice. Thank you. Dan, what do you think?
I just came back from the Northeast YMCA Camp Conference at New York YMCA Camp, which is formerly named Camp Greenkill. They're currently rebranding. But I attended the conference last year, and it definitely had a really laid-back feel the year before, which was nice in some aspects, but this year there was really a great community feeling, and that was the first time I've seen really the power of like a set community coming from the the top down instead of coming from the camp directors up compared to Tri-State. And at this point, for me, conferences are almost more about networking than actually what I get out of the sessions. There's definitely some standard sessions I kind of always try to hit of, you know, Michael Brandwein or Scott Arzella or Steve McGuire or some of those guys, or Chris Thurber. But, you know, for the most part, like, I really, talking to other camps, I had a talk with a friend named Don who's running Camp Mason, and our talk was much more beneficial for me than anything that I really got out of the presenters itself. And this is speaking as someone that actually presented at the conference as well, too, but, you know, that sort of thing, so.
Well, yeah, and oftentimes at a conference, it's that in-between time where you get a lot more out of the conference than the actual sessions.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, I totally agree.
The Northeast Camp Conference also did something cool this year with offering a discounted rate for college students, so encouraging their camp directors to invite some of their college-age staff and bringing them up there as well. But I know CAMS participated. It's not so much a conference, it's more of a rally. With the leaders clubs that have been out of WISE, and I was wondering if maybe you could mention a little bit about what kind of happens with that.
In the past, I've worked with a YMCA program called the Teen Leaders Program, and they meet generally about four times a year. It's usually over weekends. You bring yourself as the advisor, director, and you also bring your teams with you, and it's really a weekend. It goes over a weekend, so it goes from a Friday to about a Sunday. It's just a community of teen leaders and discussing what works for their community, and it's kind of like a sharing of ideas and kind of that sort of thing. And it really, I feel it really adds something for both the directors and the teams, and they also can really take away something unique. And what generally would happen with it, they'd go back to their home YMCAs or their home clubs, and they'd share with everyone what they've learned or some neat ideas that they've had. And yeah, it's definitely something that I think is advantage for smaller meetings or get-togethers for directors, where the Northeast Camp Conference that had that kind of community feel to it, whereas, you know, the Tri-State ACA program is more of like a one-way kind of thing where you're there to learn stuff and you take out as much as you put in, I think, is ultimately what you get from those programs.
And that can be a bonding experience in itself, Tri-State, with if you're able to bring a couple of staff members, they go off to their own sessions, and then you get, you know, you come back together and you discuss what you heard and all that. So it's what you're looking for and you know, what you want your staff to get out of it. And obviously there's benefits to sort of both.
Yeah, years ago I attended Tri-State solo. The camp I was at only was going to pay for me to go, and New York was a very lonely place as an individual, if you don't know many people at Tri-State. So I felt all alone and by myself. But the stuff you learn at Tri-State, I still think about those things. And people always say the more you read outside of your center of what you know, right? So camping is what we know. We know camping. That's what we do.
Yeah.
But the more you read everything outside of it, the more you can bring all of that to bear inside. And when I lead a couple of years ago, I was getting subscriptions to both Rolling Stone and Discover magazine. And the weird thing is that neither of them really applies to camping. And they certainly don't apply to each other. But they would arrive the same day each month. And it sort of made me think, you know, this is good. The wider I spread my web, the more I can learn and bring it back into camping. So,
for those who aren't sort of in the northeastern states and Ontario and Quebec, sorry, Gab, who don't know much about Tri-State, maybe we'll just talk about that. So Tri-State is a big conference, probably one of the biggest camping conferences in the world.
Yeah, that's what they promoted as.
Yeah. It takes place in Atlantic City. When Joe last went, it was in New York City in Manhattan, which I think they moved it to make it a little bit cheaper, but it was always so awesome to come down from here and be in Manhattan for a week. We love that part of it, but we've had lots of fun going to Atlantic
City. I have great, great memories of you in Manhattan, Travis. Great memories.
Yes. So anyway,
and your friend Alfonso.
What's that?
And your friend Alonzo? Yeah.
Alonzo, yes, my friend Alonzo. Anyway, back to Tri-State business. I haven't gone to the Provincial Camping Association Conference, the Ontario Camping Association Conference, in a number of years. I haven't been in camping full-time for the last 2 years, but I have been to Tri-State up until, well, I won't get a chance to go this year, but have gone the 2 years previous when I wasn't working full-time. And in the end, when my wife and I were directing, we stopped going to our provincial conference because we found that it was cheaper for us to go to Tri-State. And there was so much information there that we could get. We'd been in camping for 15 years, so, you know, we were often the speakers at the provincial camping conference, but there wasn't a lot for us to take out at our level of experience, but found at Tri-State there was always some great value there. So that's why, in the end, I'm a big fan of Tri-State. I totally understand the community thing. We did a little better, 2009, at trying to get some more people together and organizing it on Twitter, you know, of groups that didn't know each other ahead of time. But you're right, it's harder to get to know the people versus something like what Buckeye sounds like. So, Gab, what do you think about conferences?
I mean, Ontario and Quebec are so different in their conference style, and I think I agree with you, Travis, with Tri-State and the amount of sessions that they have to offer, and just the adventure to go somewhere new is really nice. There's definitely a benefit, or there's an importance of trying to attend your provincial conference, because a lot of the times that's where you'll be able to connect with people that are having to deal with the same standards that you're having to deal with. And if you're not happy with the association, you're hopefully able to speak to people that can help move the association in a particular way. In Quebec, their conference is at the beginning of November. So their idea with that is to finish their school groups in the fall and then be able to debrief what their summer was like. And some neat stuff that they do is they do awards for different camp programs and development. Whereas I find in the English community, camping community, there's a lot of awards awarded to people and their individual successes. Whereas in the French community, it's more what did this organization do, you know, and all that kind of stuff. So it's really neat to see in your different areas who's doing what. And so going to those provincial conferences or state conferences, I think, are important. But I think one of the things, too, that's neat is the ACA Nationals conference. The conference is free for students. And I think that's really, really cool. And you have to be a member. It doesn't cost very much to be a member. But we're going to be able to bring approximately 7 of our staff all the way to Colorado. Amazing. Because of that, and then people are saying, "Wow, they have so much money," and I wish that was true. But just between us, we mentioned it to our staff. We said, "This is what's happening in Colorado. If anybody's interested, let us know." And we had such an overwhelming response of people that wanted to come, and we helped finance it a little bit. But for the most part, they're, you know, it's their part-time jobs and their summer jobs that help pay for it. So I think also to try to open it up to your staff and just ask them. If you don't have the finance, just let them know what you can finance and see who's interested in going. And you might be surprised on the staff that are interested in attending a conference with you. But the last but not least very important conference, I think, is the International Camping Congress, where people around the world get together every 3 years. And it's like the Olympics in camping. And we had it in Quebec in 2008, and it's going to be in Hong Kong in 2011. And it's a very important conference, if possible, if you can attend it. It's to help move the world of camping forward. So, I always think just sort of aim for the stars. Don't disregard it, and try to, you know, aim for those big conferences that you think you can't make it for, and see if you can save up or get some support. But I think getting together is a really important part of our moving our camping industry forward. Definitely. So those are my little thoughts.
Yeah, just like
I think another perspective Go ahead, Dan.
Oh, no, I just want to say that the YMCA is doing, I don't know if it's technically a celebration, it's not a conference. There's the 125th camping celebration for the YMCA in Colorado in October. And that's definitely just kind of about bringing the community together. And it's going to have camp directors that are retired and camp directors that are current and everything in between as well, too.
Great.
I've really gone towards this conference model of finding things that that are outside of camping, the same as, magazine subscriptions. And a friend of mine who's doing her PhD at the University of Guelph said, have you put yourself into conferencealerts.com? I was like, pardon me? So conferencealerts.com it's for academic conferences worldwide. And so you can literally look at conferences by topic. And you can also have them send you, you can subscribe, and they'll send you a free update when at conferences that match your interests show up. So camp, children, creativity. It only comes like once a month, so it's not going to clog your email inbox. But it's great because it makes you realize if you've never attended an academic conference, you will be thankful what camping conferences offer because an academic conference is much less exciting than any camping conference I've ever been to.
Right.
But that being said, a couple of years ago, I found a conference that was being held in BC based on Richard Liu's book, No Child, The Last One in the Woods. And it was a great conference because Richard Liu was a keynote. Robert Bateman, who's a famed Canadian artist, was a keynote. And the cool thing is they didn't just show up and then leave. They literally stayed and hung out in the small group sessions as well, which was the most bizarre thing that you're sitting in like a small group discussion with four people. And Robert Bateman's one of them.
That's awesome.
And you're like,
yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, that's very cool.
This is really cool. And then he said, oh, well, where are you from in BC? And I said, no, I'm actually from Ontario. And his brother lives, within half an hour of our camp. And he said, oh yeah, yeah. Carolinian Forest. This whole discussion about stuff. And it's amazing to sort of step out of what we think, because if we only go to camping conferences, we'll only know camping people. So
yeah,
definitely.
I think
not saying camping people aren't bad people to know.
Broadening your horizons.
No, I like that, Joe. I think it's, and there's the American Experiential Education Conference, which is also great, and they pop up everywhere around the states.
Definitely.
They're not too far from our border either.
Yeah.
Well, I'll see if any of you had any other final thoughts on conferences, but one thing that we've talked about probably every podcast so far at the end is a camp conference that Joe is organizing that Gab and I were involved in sort of getting going as well the very first time it ran, called Think Camp, which is based on the bar camp model where everybody comes has to participate in the conference in some way. So you can't just be there to absorb. You have to be there to be a part of the process, whether it's sort of volunteering. The bar camps, they really have a lot of space for volunteers to do set up and tear down and recording and that sort of stuff. But at the Think Camp conference, it was really focused on everybody coming ready to present something and then the group deciding what they wanted to learn about based on what everybody put forward as the proposals. So, Joe, why don't you tell us, give us a couple minutes on Think Camp.
Well, the background to Think Camp is a little bit, and I might have to just run in a second to open my garage door so my kids can get in off the bus. The background is that Gab and Travis and I were all involved in the Ontario Camp Leadership Workshop, and the model of that conference didn't really work because you're paying an honorarium to presenters and you're preparing for a number of people that you have no idea how many people will show up at the conference. It's the same model that, the Ontario Camping Association works under. You're guessing how many people are going to show up at your conference. And then if you overspend, you're screwed. And Travis had initially got me into the bar camp thought. And so with Think Camp, the essential idea is that, everyone comes, everyone presents. And that way you're not paying anyone to come, so you as a conference aren't going to lose any money. All you need to plan ahead is making sure there's food for people and a place for people to sleep. The difference is that in some conferences you have If you're a presenter, you'll have an hour to present. Or I spoke at a youth ministry conference last week, and I had an hour and a half for my sessions, which is great. Gives you lots of time to discuss and play games and stuff. At Buckeye, they do their sessions a bit differently, and I have an eight-hour session on creating a culture of success, so 2 hours every day for 4 days. So that's a different model altogether. ThinkCamp goes the exact opposite way. You can choose between doing a 10-minute session or doing a half-hour session. No more time is allotted. So if you choose 10 minutes, you need to be able to present in 10 minutes. And Gab, I think, said it best right after the first ThinkCamp. She said, you know what I loved about it? It cuts out all the crap. You know, if they only have, you know, there's no filler. There's no filler whatsoever. It's just information. And the great thing is, even if you don't like the topic, or if you find the presenter to be not a good presenter, in 10 minutes or half an hour, it's done, and you just move on to the next one.
You just tune them out.
In 24 hours, we saw we saw 17 sessions in 24 hours at the first ThinkCamp, and a totally different model than – and we had all ages. We had young camp people. We had people in their mid-50s to 60s sitting around. Honestly, since high school, since being a high school student and going to a leadership conference and being really excited – it was the most excitement I'd seen leaving a conference in a long time, and I think that Gab would agree.
Yeah, absolutely. And we did Think Camp in Quebec for the first time, called Reflex Camp, and this was the first time they'd ever seen something like this. And we're going to be making it probably a part of our pre-conference next year. But the power that has, and talk about a shared. Here we're talking about Tri-State and a lot of information, and then smaller conferences and community. This sort of has both. You have the community is built right into all of this information. It's very powerful, and I think people surprise themselves with information that's really important to our organization. So yeah, it's a great conference.
I think it's a really great way for your younger staff to really get involved and really kind of get a good feel for what it's like, and really kind of get their voices heard too as well. This is a really kind of neat idea.
It was scary for some people. I know that Gab brought a couple of ladies from Quebec, and it's scary for some people who don't normally present. They're excited by the idea of hearing all of these presentations, but they're really like, well, I don't present. And you would think that 10 minutes is a pretty easy presentation to put together, but it's much harder to plan for 10 minutes than to plan for an hour session.
Yep.
And it's a great way to get tons of different perspectives in a very short time period.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Thank you all for your inputs on and thoughts on conferences. Anybody have any other quick closing thoughts on conferences before we move on to our picks of the week?
My only closing thought would be that if you don't invest in education of you and your camp staff, then your camp's not really going to grow. So
yeah.
It's a necessary part.
Ditto.
Thanks very much. That was awesome. We're going to wrap up then with our picks of the week. So each one of these will be a tool that will make you a better camp director. It can be a website, a book, some game that you know of, that sort of thing. Each one of us has brought something to the table today to talk about that is just a good tool for camp directors to know. So, Cam, we'll let you go last. I know that you've got something ready, but we'll bring in at the end there. Dan, I wonder if you could open us up with your pick of the week.
Sure. So my pick for this week was the Five Dysfunctions of a Team. It's a leadership fable by Patrick McCamey. And it's written really interestingly. It's basically a business book in a sense of, it's about Catherine, the CEO, who takes over a company that has some major dysfunctions and how she kind of revamps things. But the parallels to camp are great. And what I really took away from it, and I'll do a blog post on it right around the time we release this as well. But the big question was that I took away for it, that I posed to everybody, was which team is first? And what I mean by that is, sometimes you have different age groups that want to do different activities and things conflict. And instead of, working together as a team for your summer staff, sometimes they're like, oh, my kids deserve this or my kids deserve that. And it really kind of brings people together, and it's an easy way to kind of diffuse problems as well, too.
Great. Joe, what's your pick of the week?
My pick of the week is a site called Moodle.org. It's an online learning center, and I know that there are companies that will allow you to do online training with your staff, but a lot of times it's limited to their specific training, or they'll try and mold it a little bit to you. Moodle is a full online learning system where you create your own classes. So I could set up a class where, you know, people have to be able to name my buildings at camp as a test. It takes a bit of work to set up. Me and my leadership team, we're going to test it out this year and see how it goes. You know, for our policies and procedures, we're going to put it all on Moodle as like 1 week learning sessions so that we don't have to waste time during staff training going over it, because we'll be able to test all of their knowledge on online tests as well and see how many times they've logged on and have they added to discussion groups. So it's a fairly fully comprehensive, but you need to be willing to play with these things too. So
I know that Glenn Bernard used Moodle last year for online training, and it seemed to be successful for them. And I know there's a couple of things that they want to tweak, but I'm sure if anybody was to use Moodle, you could contact Megan at Glenn Bernard, and maybe she has some tips for you on how to set that up.
That's awesome.
That is awesome.
That's awesome. And the reason I found out about it was my web hosting service has a bunch of free programs that they'll install for you. And so Moodle was one of the educational programs. So for me, I just literally clicked a button and installed it. I didn't have to upload anything, which is the value of knowing how to use your own web host. So
cool. Dan and Cam, have either of you used Moodle before?
I've heard of it. I haven't used it.
No, I haven't used it, but both Dan and I were actually talking this morning about another website that sounds similar in format. Dan, do you remember the URL?
It was Chris Thurber's e-learning, Essential Learnings. We might have talked about it before on the podcast as well, too, I'm not sure.
Yep. Cool. Gab, what's your pick of the week?
My pick of the week is the Camp Song, and it's a song written by Peter Katz. He wrote it for the International Camping Conference in 2008. And it's a sincerely beautiful song that represents camping. And what he's done is he wrote it and he's given it to the camping community. So you can download it for free at peterkatz.org/camp. HTML, and you know, use it in your PowerPoints, and as long as you're not selling it, you can use it and pass on this song. And he's also put up a little help sponsor the song. So to master it and all that, it costs a little bit of money, but basically it's yours to download. So it's a great song. It's not cheesy, which I appreciate in camp songs, and it's lovely. Yeah, so I'd go and download it as soon as you can.
And I saw on his Twitter last week that he actually just re-recorded it with some more voices just last week in Toronto, and he invited whatever camp people wanted to come to the studio and be on the chorus with him.
Yeah, and I listened to it today, and it sounds beautiful. If you were at ICC, they added a whole little extra part that you can get campers to sing along with. He did one in French, too, so I think it's really sort of an outreach to the camping community song, and it's quite beautiful. So, and it's totally remastered, so it's very professional sounding.
It's a great song.
Yeah.
Joe, are you going to learn to play on your banjo?
For sure, I'll learn to play it on the banjo. I was just on the site, but as we were starting, I donated money to Peter Katz because I've used that song. We had it up on an Animoto video on our website. Yeah, it's great stuff. But on the banjo, yeah, for sure. I'll let you know how that goes.
I think he might even have a YouTube video on how to play the camp song. On your guitar,
yeah,
but I don't
Google,
know about the banjo.
If you Google Peter Katz camp song, yeah, you have the URL in the show notes, but there's a YouTube video at the bottom. There are places where I can transcribe that into banjo tab.
Oh, good. I was concerned.
Next podcast.
No worries.
And Peter's so nice. My son Spencer recorded a version of it and posted it on YouTube, and Peter right away went and commented on it and told him how much he loved it, and Spencer was through the roof. Like, Spencer's grown up at camp, obviously, and been on staff for 4 or 5 years, so he's in university now. But he was just so excited to hear from Peter when Pete commented on Spencer's version of the camp song. So, pretty cool guy, Peter Katz.
Yeah.
I have a really quick pick of the week. I'm conscious of the time, so I'm going to try to push this to the end here. This is a straight ripoff from the podcast MacBreak Weekly. Somebody else's pick, but I thought it was so great, and it's something I've been looking for years. I hate filling out PDF Check. Forms when they're not set up properly to be able to just use just Adobe Reader and not the full version of Acrobat, the $500 version. So just use Adobe Reader and, you know, type it and fill it in with all of your information, especially if you're filling out grant forms or all sorts of stuff, medical forms, whatever. There is a free program for Mac only, and I'm sorry about that, called Formulate Pro that you can download that will allow you to sort of write on top of a flat PDF, one that's not set up to be filled in, and then it'll sort of reflatten it, save it again as a PDF, and you can email that PDF completed, filled in. And I think that's a brilliant idea, something I've been looking for years.
As a Windows guy, the program that you do that with is called Foxit Reader.
Yes.
Foxit Reader is a much smaller file than Adobe's Acrobat Reader. And one of the things it has is something called a typewriter function, where you literally, you treat the PDF as a typewriter and you just type wherever you want. To save it, they put like a registration mark on it. But if you, like, I pay $19 every couple of years and get their pro version, and I can save a PDF with no registration marks and just keep editing it and keep saving it. So it's pretty cool.
I love Foxit as well, too.
And Foxit's a Firefox extension, right?
No, it can be a Firefox extension, but it's its own reader as well.
Oh, cool. Cam, for your first time on the Camp Minds podcast, would you tell us your pick of the week?
My pick of the week. It's Super Staff Supervision by Michael Brandywine. A bunch of our directors just got done reading it, and it really changes the way I supervise my staff. And it really turns what, for some people, is just a job they're doing over the summer to something that has goals and objectives and really has good ideas about how to follow up with those and really kind of add a little bit of professionalism to a counselor's job on top of the things they do day in and day out here at camp. There's a lot of good stuff in it, and I definitely recommend it for anybody, who, especially first-time camp directors.
Great.
I like that, Cam. I've read it too, and I've passed it on to my leadership team members, and it's very clear and logical, but it's a very positive way of leading staff, and I think it was very useful. I like your pick.
Thank you.
Well, that's awesome. That is Camp Minds podcast number 4.
If you'd like to check out some more of the stuff that I do, you can go on my website at Gabrielle Rail, and that's rail with 2 L's .com. And there's some information stuff and some little notes there about camping, as well as if you'd like to just see where I work, you can check out waro.com. So I hope to see you there.
Can you spell Waro for us, please, again?
Yep. It's OUAREAU.com.
Cool. Cam, where can we find out more about you?
You can find out more about me, of course, frostvalley.org, or you can hit me up on Twitter at LeaderCam. That's with a Cam with a K.
Right on. And Joe?
You can find me on Twitter at YoYoJoeR. We talked about Buckeye today. BuckeyeLeadership.com is a site that will take you to all about the conference, and it is held the end of March for 5 days, so there's still tons of time to get there and sign up for it, and tell them Joe sent you. Hopefully we can see some people there.
Awesome. So I'm blogging for our kids at ourkids.net/blog, and that's lots of stuff that our kids covers, not just camps, but private schools and parenting and things like that. And I'm on Twitter professionally at twitter.com/ourkidsnet, and my personal Twitter is twitter.com/zoic, and I post about photography and camp and leadership and all sorts of stuff like that on my personal Twitter too. So So thanks very much. A couple of things coming up that we should mention before we all just sort of say goodbye at once. I know that Dan recorded some interviews at the conference that he was at last week, and we're going to figure out a way to put that up so that everybody can hear them. So, Gab, did you get a chance to do that too?
I did record one interview with Mickey Johnson.
Oh, awesome. That was another thing I was going to mention is sort of need some feedback from listeners as to how long you want this to be. We're pushing an hour here on this show. Other ones have been half an hour, 40 minutes. And one of the things we want to include is about 5 minutes excerpted from these interviews that we're going to be doing. And, you know, sort of include that at the three-quarter mark in the show. But then have the full interview available for download as well. So we need a bit of feedback from those listening. If you're okay with the show going towards an hour, or if you'd prefer us to really stick to half an hour, 40 minutes, and put the extra content just up on the blog. So you can post things to Twitter with the hashtag CampMinds, CampMinds. I follow all that stuff. You can send me a direct message at OurKidsNet or at Zoic, or you can email me, which is travis@ourkids.net, just for any feedback on the blog. And we appreciate everything we've heard so far, all the feedback on the podcast. So thank you for that. A couple of other quick things. If you go to facebook.com/ourkidsgotocamp, that's what we've been using to sort of soft launch this podcast. We are at the point now where we're going to launch a Camp Minds blog and have an official iTunes and Zune feed for the podcast. And so that's going to come in the next 2 weeks. But right now, if you want to give us some feedback or anything about the show, then go to facebook.com/ourkidsgotocamp. I would like to say a thank you that is long overdue. I wish I'd thought to do this at the end of every show. I'm going to do it, everyone, going forward. We want to thank our long-suffering editor, Donovan Romanek, who's put up with us, giving him funny formats of files and put our shows together for us so far. And we're really grateful to Don for all the work he's doing for the Camp Minds podcast. So he's at whereitsatproductions.ca, and he does audio and video work up here north of Toronto, and I mean, we just FTP all the files to him, so he's been great at that. So thanks, Don, for all of the work on that. So thank you all for meeting up on Skype today, and for our listeners, we're so grateful that you're taking the time to download this. We are going to make it easier for you to get the Camp Minds podcast going forward. It will be on iTunes, and as I said, the Zune Marketplace, and as many places as we can put it. So it's easy for you to download to your iPhone, Zune, the GPS in your car, or however you like. We're going to do that. And keep a watch on camps.ca for our new blog, which we'll be announcing on Twitter what the new URL for that will be. So thanks very much. So thanks, everybody. Goodbye.
Right on. See you later.
Goodbye.